When I am teaching, I really have only 5 or so minutes to enter into my own state of practice. When I enter into meditative concentration, and when I'm in the state, whether you are here or not here, doesn't affect me at all. In meditative concentration, at any time, can come to calm abiding. This all comes through practice. And then, when we are dull, or we have a state of lack of awareness, look further in front of yourself, further into the distance, to that great mountain. When sensing that we are drowsy or we have dullness, then anchor our 5 senses, our eyesight, our hearing, etc., and our awareness towards vastness or towards bright places. And then we look at the world from the most profound view, in a state unseen by the eyes. This must definitely be done through meditative concentration. And now everybody's meditating with Rinpoche. Look far in front of yourself. I won't say that it is more profound or more shallow. However, the more we meditate, we will have the more profound experience. It's not that we try to achieve this by changing our eyesight. Mind unmoving like the great ocean. Let the 5 senses of taste, smell, sight, touch, hearing of the 3 doors dissolve into the profound Dhamma Dhatu. And then when we have more discursive and discriminatory thoughts, what should we do? Look down. With our body, speech and mind in a very relaxed state, we enter into meditative concentration. It's not like there's one part of our body that we have to adjust. It is our whole body that is like a great mountain. Yes, when we have many discursive thoughts, then turn your eyesight and look down. When we are very dull or without awareness, then we take our 5 senses and project them far into the distance. We take our eyesight and project it far into the distance. Look far into the distance. Where we are placing our eyesight, this is where we will put the focus of our mind. Gradually, gradually, get used to practicing like this. Because these afflictions and these emotions, they come from within the state of our mind, isn't it? When this happens, we have many afflictions, we're very anxious. And then when this happens, can we use these afflictions as the object of our meditation? On that most uncomfortable feeling or sensation. Use that most uncomfortable sensation feeling as the object of meditation. Meditate like this for 5 minutes, and then that uncomfortable feeling, sensation will disappear. It will dissipate. It will be dissolved. However, if we don't practice like this, then that affliction, that emotion is going to affect our state of mind. And just like I said, sometimes you must go and practice outside. Also, what we must do is look in to our mind and use that discomfort that we are experiencing as the object of our meditation. That arrogance. What is the arrogance? We can't see the good points in others. When we see that other people are practicing better than us, we are unhappy. When somebody says, oh, Rinpoche said this person is practicing very well, we think, oh, I'm much better. Sometimes people's emotions are really very, very strange. These negative habits and this arrogance come from a strong sense of I, and it brings about this jealousy and this envy, and this jealousy and envy will bring us a lot of suffering. This arrogance isn't much. What is it? I want to be better than others. I'm different to others, etc., etc. However, what does it bring is that when we see that maybe others are better than us, we have this feeling of discomfort and an unhappiness. This is the suffering that comes after being arrogant. Really, this arrogance and envy is going to bring about a lot of suffering afterwards. And nobody else feels this. It's only we ourselves that experience this suffering. And so if we can take all of these inner afflictions and emotions and use them as the object of practice of compassion and of our object of meditation, the reference point for our meditation, then it becomes an inner meditative energy. And layer by layer, it can cut through these inner afflictions and our attachments. And this is really necessary. Sometimes we can look externally and meditate. Sometimes we can look internally and use these afflictive emotions as the object of our meditation. Then we can transcend all of these inner emotions and afflictions, and also we can use the external environment as the object of our meditation. And then we will really start having a feeling of success. And then your inner happiness and feeling of fortune, words won't be able to express. We will have attained a really very different happiness. And then really we will have a lot of belief in the Buddha Dharma and a lot of gratitude towards our Vajraguru. If it wasn't for the Vajraguru, who would have helped me to be free from all of these afflictive emotions? Who would have taught me these very profound pith instructions? How would we have known this if it wasn't taught to us by our Vajraguru? And this is what we call arising causes. And from this we have this gratitude towards the Vajraguru. That is life after life. It's feeling like the Guru saved my life. Not saving me from this life. It's from the life after life of revolving around in samsara. And so from all different aspects, we train our mind. And then we really start to understand the great benevolence of the Guru who has helped us transform like this through his great compassion and guidance. If we just look at the Guru superficially, externally, then we will never really know the benevolence, the great merit of the Guru. And so from all these different aspects, we train, we practice. And if we have some very strong afflictions and emotions, then let's transform them gradually. Sometimes when some karma arises, we're really not willing to accept it. As a practitioner, in reality, all of these obstacles and difficulties are opportunities for us to break our attachment. And in reality, to be able to practice like this needs great merit and a lot of belief. It's not like everybody can do this. And we can gradually, gradually train and transform. Because we don't really want to suffer, do we? And where does most of this suffering come from? Problems within our own mind. When our mind is confused and lost, we don't pay attention to what's going on in our mind. And then we're not able to accept this, we're not able to let go of that. And then we have to do this, we have to go and do that. And we carry on our lives like this. And so we must look at ourselves clearly, and we may see that all of this suffering is not ending. However, if we practice, we will find that we can resolve this problem of suffering. You see, if our mind is happy, then everything in this world is okay. When our mind is in a good state, everything is okay. However, when our mind is not in a good way, then everything is not okay. Any other questions?